Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Animal Hour. My name is Jeff, and I am your host for today's show. And today we are here with Tim Link. He is the president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County. We are very lucky to have Tim here today. Not only is he the president of one of the few dog and cat no-kill shelters in Forsyth County in the state of Georgia, he is also an animal communicator and owner of Wagon Tails, a company dedicated to interspecies communication. Welcome, Tim.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be here. Glad to talk to all the wonderful listeners out there.
All right. Could you start out by just telling us a little about yourself and how you came to where you are now?
Okay. Well, my background, basically my professional background, is I was a telecommunications executive. So I spent 20 years in telecommunications selling software and component parts for cell phones. And during this time, I started getting more and more involved with the various rescue organizations. Living and Coming, got involved with the Humane Society of Forsyth County, started doing some volunteer work with them on adoptions, started doing grants for them and collecting some revenue for the organization. And then this past year was nominated to the board and elected vice president of the organization. So that's one part of what I do. That's a volunteer-type position, and it's a fantastic organization, a great way to get involved and help all these wonderful animals. And the Wagging Tails came about. I started about 4.5 years ago, found out that I had the gift to be able to communicate with animals, have a telepathic connection with them. And I decided, after working a little bit more with my own animals, with animals from friends, the rescue organization animals, that I needed to be doing this full-time, that there was such a need out there. People were asking me for it. It was definitely my calling and what I needed to be doing. So I left corporate America, formed Wagging Tails, and we've been doing it ever since, having a great time and helping a lot of people bridge that communication gap between their animals and themselves.
Excellent, excellent. I suppose it was pretty nice to get out of corporate world too, huh?
Very much so, yes. It's. I think I work a lot harder here, but it's a lot more enjoyable, and the results are there. And obviously, working with great people and all these beautiful animals, it's extremely rewarding.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, I want to hear all about the animal communication and Wagging Tails for sure, but what I'd like to do first is just get started talking about the shelter, or actually the Humane Society, mm-hmm. and what goes on there. Can you give us a little history on the shelter and tell the listeners what's the mission of your shelter, and just tell us a little bit about the shelter?
Sure. Well, we are the Humane Society of Forsyth County. We're located in Cumming, Georgia. Forsyth County, as you know, is one of the fastest growing counties, not only in Georgia, but in the nation. So we're seeing a large influx of new homes being built there, new families coming into the area. And whenever you have families coming into the area, they always have pets or needs for pets. So we try to fulfill that with our shelter. The organization has been around since 1975, so we've been around a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We are located just on Keith Bridge Road, which is right off of Exit 17 and off of Georgia 400, and we've got a shelter facility there. The organization's focus, basically, as you mentioned, we are a no-kill shelter. So we will bring in dogs and cats either into our physical location or one of our many foster homes, and we will take care of those animals until we can get them adopted out to their forever homes. And at any given time, we have probably 100-plus dogs and cats in our system. We adopt out between 500 to 600 animals per year. And we get all shapes and sizes, all kinds of cats, all kinds of dogs, kittens, puppies, purebreds, not quite so purebreds. And the focus of our organization basically is dedicated to the welfare and the humane treatment of animals is the key thing behind it. And so we made the charter to become a no-kill shelter and do our very best to get these animals placed into wonderful homes as soon as we possibly can.
Okay. Yeah, there was a quote by somebody, I can't remember the person's name, but if you can't decide if you want a Rottweiler, a German Shepherd, or a pug, well, then get a mutt. Right?
Get them
all. Then you get them all.
Heinz 57 always works out best.
Exactly. what does it take to qualify as a no-kill shelter, or how do you become a no-kill shelter?
Well, we are considered a rescue organization, so we are privately funded. All the funding we get comes from fundraisers, from adoption fees, from grants that we get from other foundations. So we're not supported in any fashion by any national organizations, any state or local governments. So in that fashion, you know, makes it more difficult for us to survive because we got to go out there and scrap for the dollars. Mm-hmm. But on the plus side, we get to determine what do we want from our society? What do our members and what do our volunteers want from the organization? And we determined a long time ago that we wanted to be a no-kill shelter, that we want to bring animals in, do our very best to find permanent homes for them, and if that takes a day or whether that takes a year, we take care of these animals until we can get them to the right and forever homes.
Okay.
And so it's a daily challenge, but it's a very exciting challenge. And you know, the things that we like about it is the fact that we get introduced to all kinds of different animals with lots of different backgrounds. So it's fun to see them come into our system and then obviously get adopted into their perfect homes.
Yeah, exactly. Can you kind of explain the difference for myself and the listeners as well? What is the difference between like a shelter versus a humane society? What's the primary difference there?
Right. Well, the difference, it depends on the shelter or the rescue group. So when we typically think of shelters, even though I'll reference our location as a shelter from time to time, but a shelter often is viewed as a county shelter. Now, county shelter, this is most counties, and I think virtually every county here in Georgia, has a county-run shelter. This is a location where they will collect animals that are lost or are injured or are out there in the community. The dog catcher, as we'll call it,
mm-hmm.
The sheriff's department will come and collect these animals and bring them into these shelters. Now, these shelters are county-funded, so our tax-paying dollars are going towards these shelters to keep them running. Their goal is to control the population of abandoned or lost or animals that are out in our county, running our streets. Now, the difference is the fact that they are mandated and they are unable to keep the animals for long periods of time.
Do you know how much time that is usually?
Well, it'll vary by county, whatever the county ordinances are, but typically, you know, I'd say anywhere from 5 to 10 days.
Okay.
There are certain circumstances where they can keep them longer, but their influx of animals they bring in won't afford them to keep them that long. And in addition, they're required after so many days to go ahead and, if they haven't placed them, if they haven't got them into forever homes, they will euthanize them.
Okay.
Our organization is No Kill. So we keep them as long as it needs that we need to keep them until we find them the right and perfect homes.
Mm-hmm.
Other rescue organizations that are funded similar to ours by private donations, by memberships, by adoptions, those type of things, some of them choose to be no-kill shelters and can afford to do so. Some don't. Some will euthanize after X number of days or months based on whatever their board of directors determines is a fair amount of time. So I think for, you know, the listeners, there's a lot of the key thing is you need to find the right and perfect pet for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the location, do your research, find the one that's right for you and your family, no matter if it comes from a county shelter, a no-kill shelter, or another rescue organization. But do keep in mind that there are some organizations that have to euthanize and will euthanize quicker, where we just don't do that.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's interesting. Can you provide us with any statistics relating to the number of dogs and cats currently in shelters in Georgia or Forsyth County? Or?
Well, the exact numbers I don't have. I mean, if you take a look at Georgia, there's a wonderful organization called the it's called Spot Society, and I believe their website is spot.org. And the acronym stands for Stopping Pet Overpopulation Together. And what SPOT does is collect data on a bi-yearly basis, twice every other year. They'll collect data from the local county shelters as well as the rescue organizations on how many number of cats, dogs, kittens, puppies were brought in, how many died at the location due to natural causes or sicknesses,
mm-hmm.
how many were euthanized, and they come up with a percentage. So the exact number I don't have. That's a great way to take a look at it. Of course, on a national basis, you can go to wonderful organizations like the Humane Society of the United States or the ASPCA to find those exact numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key thing is, though, it's the numbers are too high. The national average here in Georgia is around 64%. So we can go into a little bit more detail about that.
Sure. 64% that get euthanized?
That get euthanized.
Okay.
That's
well,
the average.
I want to definitely go find out some more stuff on that. We're about to take a little break here. You're listening to The Animal Hour, and we have Tim Link here, president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County, and we will be right back.
www.kidemergencies.com is a user-friendly free resource on children's health emergencies and poisonings for everyday mothers and fathers. The site was created by Dr. Marty Belson, one of the Pediatric Emergency Medicine Associate Physicians at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta at Scottish Rite. The website is one of five websites which has received the iParenting Media Award for the greatest products of 2007. The information on the website focuses on childhood emergencies such as infectious diseases, injuries, and poisonings. The recognition and prevention of childhood injuries and illnesses is the ultimate goal of the website. Also available for parents are updates on children's health news on the website and via a free monthly e-newsletter, an emergency checklist for the fridge, and the option of submitting questions. For more information, visit www.kidemergencies.com and be sure to listen to the Pediatric Hour Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on Radio Sandy Springs.
A busy dog is a happy dog, and we love happy dogs at Bow Wow Bungalow. Drop your best pal off to play with his doggy friends while you're at work or running errands. You won't feel guilty about leaving him behind, and he won't eat your sofa out of loneliness and frustration. At Bow Wow Bungalow, we provide your dog with companionship, fun, and full-time monitoring in our gorgeous fenced location full of toys. Bow Wow Bungalow is open in Crabapple Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 7. Visit our website at AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
Growing daily, this is the voice of your city. Radio Sandy Springs, 1620 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Animal Hour. I'm your host, Jeff, and we are here with Tim Link, president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County. And before the break, we were just talking a little bit about statistics and the number of dogs and cats that are euthanized on a yearly basis. Do you have any sort of percentage on the number of dogs and cats that were euthanized last year in Forsyth County?
Well, in Forsyth County, the latest data that was collected had a percentage rate of about 73%, which is higher than the national and the count and the state average. There's some many things we're all trying to do that. Obviously, we have not euthanized any animals from our facility. Most of it comes from a county standpoint. And there's numerous reasons for that. Obviously, as I mentioned, the population, the growth that's going on in Forsyth County produces a lot of animals, that obviously from time to time get lost or get out there on the streets. Sometimes they're turned in because of people are unable or unwilling to take care of them. We talk about what's going on in our environment right now as far as our life, you know, is jobs being lost, foreclosures on homes, those type of things. We're seeing a major influx of animals being brought into locations like ours and like the county shelter to be able to take care of them because the people no longer can take care of them.
Right.
So we're trying to put together measures with the county and help control that. But the biggest thing that we all can do to control this is spay and neuter our animals.
Mm-hmm.
Spay and neutering your animals will control the overpopulation and get these numbers down to where they need to be, which hopefully one day will be zero.
Yes, yes. That is the ultimate goal, is to get them to zero. I know. Me personally, I have a hard time understanding how anybody can give up their dog after they've had him for a number of years, regardless of the situation. I can't count the number of times when I was going to college and didn't have a lot of money, but I had my dog Taz. She was my first little boxer girl. And I lived out of my truck when I couldn't afford the rent so I could keep my dog.
Exactly.
You know?
Good for you.
I just don't quite understand that. But it is a growing problem for sure in Georgia, the entire nation as a whole. Do you find that the efforts that our people are doing are improving the situation, or is the situation getting worse or better?
Well, I think we're on track to doing a lot of wonderful things. So I think we're doing a better job. It's becoming more recognized that it is an issue on a national basis. We're seeing more and more rescue organizations being developed. So we're seeing more people get in there and volunteer and doing the right thing and helping these animals. The spay and neuter numbers are up, and there are national campaigns and national grants out there that organizations can get for funding spay and neuter programs. So I think we are on the right track. Is it going as fast as what we like? No, definitely
right.
Not. And really the only thing we can do and that the listeners can do is get involved. Find a local rescue organization. There's always a need for you and your talents, whether it's simply coming in on a regular basis and playing with the animals and socializing them, or if you have skill sets in IT, grant writing, proposals, legislative issues, whatever it may be, whatever your skills are, whatever your hobbies are, whatever your talents are. Find your local rescue organization. Get involved. You're going to do a world of good for that organization, and your heart's going to get much larger for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to make you feel good.
That's right.
You know, that's how I got started years ago. I mean, many, many years back, I would go to the local shelter, and I would just start taking the dogs for walks. And I would take the dogs for walks. I'd get to know the dogs. And I would see that a lot of them had issues, you know. Mm-hmm. And so then I talked to the shelter. I asked them if they'd mind if I start training them. And they said, feel free to do so. And at that time, you know, I had just read a few books on how to train dogs and things like that. And I started training the dogs. And then what we found is the percentage of the dogs that would get returned because they had behavioral issues or they didn't have the training started to drop. And every dog that I was training would stay in their forever home.
That's perfect.
So if there's anybody out there that just has the inkling to train or anything like that, go out there and help the shelters out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. It's great exposure. You know, it helps us out a great deal. Plus, it's great exposure for you, too. It's you know, what better way if you're looking at it from a pure marketing standpoint? If you're a trainer and you help some of these animals out, well, guess what? Your name gets out to those people and their people and their friends, and so it'll help you from even a selfish standpoint,
right,
to helping your business out.
Yep, yep. And then you end up helping everybody.
That's right.
See, well, I'm hoping that there's a few folks out here that work for other humane societies or shelters that are listening to today's show, because Tim here has created a wonderful program to help reduce this problem. And like he had said before, thousands of your tax dollars typically go to funding animal control services.
That's right.
But not at the Humane Society of Forsyth County.
That's right. It's all donations and fundraisers and just grants from corporations and local businesses.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the programs that you are running right now that help support? Like, I know Bark and Boogie Ball is one.
We've got a fantastic bunch of volunteers, a fundraising team that's put together a series of fundraisers for us. Our biggest one by far is Bark and Boogie Ball. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great event. It's held up in the sort of Alpharetta, Forsyth County area. And the date of this year's event is October 4th. And Bark and Boogie Ball is sort of a black tie affair. We have live bands there, a lot of great auction items. We have auction items for ranging from trips to Africa, going on safaris, to trips to Costa Rica, you name it. It's a wonderful, wonderful event. You'll get to meet all the volunteers as well as a lot of people in the area. We have individuals that don't live in Forsyth County that come to Bark and Boogie Ball. And it's a great event. It's by far our biggest fundraiser. But we have other fundraisers. You know, the whole list, if you take a look at our website, which is ForsythPets.com, that'll list a majority of our fundraisers that we have going on. But we have a wine tasting event coming up here August 24th. Which is at Windermere up in the Cumming area. And it's a full day tasting fabulous wines and eating food and cheeses from around the world. And all that money goes to the Humane Society and helps the animals, helps the dogs and cats. On September 13th, we have a wonderful little event at Matilda's, which is sort of an arts and crafts place in the downtown Alpharetta area, and they have live bands out there, and it's just going to be a fun evening of entertainment and getting to see the arts and crafts and meet some wonderful people out there as well. So we have a whole slew of events. We have a couple golf tournaments coming up, one for the Humane Society in general, which is coming up on the 29th of September, and then we have another one coming up on October 17th, which is specifically for our feral cat program, which is our trap, spay, and neuter release program for feral cats or wild cats out there.
Okay.
So take a look at ForsythPets.com, get the full array, get out there. It's a great time to meet people, learn a little bit about the Humane Society, and as always, all the money goes back to helping these beautiful dogs and cats.
Great, great. Do you have any events going on that you get to bring your dogs to, or you get to bring your cats to, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, definitely. The Matilda's event is an outdoor event, and they definitely welcome dogs and cats. We see a lot of dogs come out there, people having sort of a picnic and enjoying the music, enjoying the festivities. So that is definitely one that you can bring the animals to.
Good, good. Yeah, because from a trainer's perspective, socializing your pets is highly important, is one of the most important things you could possibly do, is socialize them, because it gives them coping skills to deal with things. Then you won't have this stressed out pet.
Exactly, so, and you'll be a lot less stressed out,
yes,
as well. So
yeah.
You're absolutely right. The more you can socialize them with other animals and other people, the better your life with that animal is going to be.
Yep, and better theirs is.
That's exactly right, and that's the most important thing.
Exactly. Well, tell us a little bit about the Humane Hearts program.
Yeah, the Humane Hearts program is a program where we reach out to the community to try to better educate them and also to touch the lives of people that may not have access to animals. So we're talking about people that are in nursing homes, people that have disabilities, maybe they can't take care of a pet themselves. Mm-hmm. So we bring animals out to their location to for them to be able to interface with animals and feel the love of that animal, as well as teaching schools, teaching the children about the animals and how to work with them. And so we'll bring animals into the schools as well to teach the young, get them involved in a young age, and then they have a lifetime of love for the animals.
Right, exactly. Well, that's great. I want to find out a little bit more about the Humane Hearts program and some of the other programs that you have going on out there. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to the Animal Hour, and we have Tim Link here. We'll be right back.
It doesn't just happen that one person's grass looks that much better than their neighbor's. Mine does, because I use family-owned and operated Grassroots year-round. They apply to my grass whatever and whenever, fertilizer, pre- and post-emergent, and anything else that is needed to assure of a beautiful yard in the spring and summer. Grassroots. The only name you'll need to know for your yard is Grassroots. And tell them you heard about them on Radio Sandy Springs. So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas. Atlanta Dog Trainer services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would love to invite you to view our website, museumofpatriotism.org, and find the calendar that tells you the date we will reopen our museum so you can look forward to becoming more inspired by what's made America so great. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs at AM 1620 and on the web at www.radiosandysprings.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Animal Hour. My name is Jeff. I'm your host for the show today. For those of you that are just tuning in, we are here with Tim Link. He is the president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County and also an animal communicator and owner of Wagon Tails, a company dedicated to interspecies communications. Before the break, we were talking about the Humane Hearts program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right. So the Humane Hearts program is we bring in animals to bring animals to people that and educate them about the animals and bring them into situations where individuals can don't have animals of their own. So if you're in a nursing facility or in your hospital, hospice type situations, we can bring animals in there to share the love with you, to interface with them. And you know, it's proven that the more you're around animals, the more you interface with them, the better your health is. Your blood pressure goes down, your life is more enjoyable. So we try to bring the animals into those situations. And a big part of Humane Hearts is education, getting into the schools, getting in schools at the early ages, teaching them about how to take care of their pets, how to socialize their pets, getting the children involved at an early age to give them a better understanding of pets is key. It's key to the longevity of the animals as well as making them lifetime animal lovers.
Right, right. Are there for those people that are listening that might want to do this with their dog or their cat? Are there certain personality traits or anything like that are desirable for going into the nursing homes and things that they could do to get their pets ready, or also even some contact information like where they would go to get their pet involved in the Humane Hearts program?
Yeah, well, to get involved, obviously check out our website, ForsythePets.com, and contact us if you have an animal you think is suitable for this program and you have an interest and desire in this. You may already have an animal that has been professionally certified as a support animal or a trained animal that can go into these situations. And if you do, a service dog, or, as some of them are referred to. So if you have a situation like that and you have a pet already, we'd definitely be interested in talking to you and see if you can help spread the word a little bit more. But contact us, and you know, the demeanor is it's all types. We dogs, cats, you name it, we've seen out there, and you just need an animal that's good with people.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I have a dog right now in my board and train program that his name is Eli, and his owners will love me for this one, right? But Eli is amazing. He's a golden doodle. And, you know, I've seen a lot of puppies, a lot of different dogs go through the program, and I see Eli, and I'm telling you, I'm going to talk to these people, because Eli is, he's got to do this program, and he's just made for it. I can just tell from his demeanor.
Oh, that's great.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm going to try to talk them into doing Humane Hearts
for
you.
Yeah, we'd love to see Eli.
For sure. Are there any other things that y'all are trying to do to reach out to the community to educate people on their pets, on overpopulation and spay and neuter and things like that?
Yeah, we obviously everything, you know, we're constantly preaching the spay and neuter programs, mm-hmm. and that's the first key. That's the thing that everybody has to realize. We have to realize that there is an overpopulation of animals out there, and we need to get a control on it. And the best way to do that is get your animal spay and neutered. Mm-hmm. Their life will be much better for it. It's been proven that their health is better by being spay and neutered. They have less temperament problems. There's less chance of them running away. Mm-hmm. When they go into heat, they'll take off. So there's a lot of pluses to it. And if you think that, well, you know, I just can't afford to do it, check around your local shelters. Check around your local rescue organizations. Oftentimes they have discounted programs out there. And sometimes even free programs out there where they've gotten donations or gotten grants in for this specific purpose. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that it costs money is no excuse.
Right. Exactly. Well, the Humane Society of Forsyth County not only operates a no-kill shelter for dogs and cats, it also has a very unique new approach to solving the cat overpopulation as well. It's called the Feral Cat Program.
That's right. Right?
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Feral Cat Program, we started about a year and a half or so ago, and we realized, like most counties, there are a lot of feral cats out there. And feral cats are wild cats or cats that have gotten out of their domesticated environment and are living on the streets. And, you know, quick statistic is that a female cat can produce 3 litters every year, and each litter is between 6 and 9 cats. So if you do the quick arithmetic, one female cat can produce up to 27 cats in a given year. Her kittens, a female kitten, within about 6 months can start going into heat and start reproducing as well. So the longer these animals are out there, the numbers can be staggering how quickly they can add up.
Mm-hmm.
So what we put together was a program called the Feral Cat Program, where we strategically place humane cat traps. These are the traps that you just put food in there. They're triggered by a little lever on the bottom of the trap. The door closes on the animal. It doesn't hurt them. There's no pain. There are no issues with that whatsoever. We then take the traps with the cat up to one of our veterinarians, get them spay and neutered, give them a day or two to recover in one of our foster programs, one of our volunteer homes, and then we either A, release them back to the same colonies in the same areas that they were before if it's a safe environment, or B, we'll put them into an area where we know it's a little safer, so get them away from the city streets, get them away from the busy areas, get them more out into the country where they can be with other cats and less likely they're going to be harmed by humans.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they are kittens and they're adoptable, or maybe they're former house cats that just happen to get out. If we can't locate who they, who the families are, we'll bring them back into the system and get them into being adopted.
Okay. So a lot of the feral cats actually may not necessarily be adoptable, but there's stray cats which are adoptable.
Yeah, exactly. Yes? Exactly. So we work with them to try to determine it. Obviously, the more of them we can get into the adoption system, the better off. But the key thing about the feral cat program also is if we do have a true feral cat out there and we do release it back out into the wild or into a country area, protected area, we also set up what we call feeding stations. And these are about 3-foot by 2-foot feeding stations. We have volunteers go by daily to put fresh food, fresh water out. So they have a centralized source to come back and get food, shelter, water while they're out in the wild. Okay. So we don't leave them out there to fend for themselves.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, I think that's a great program. That's very unique. There's not a lot of humane societies out there that are doing that particular program for cats. A lot of it's dog related, isn't it?
Right. Well, it's starting to populate a little bit more, so we're getting the word out there. We're one of the only few around this area or up in our area. So what we're trying to do is expand the program not only to cover Forsyth County but help some of the surrounding counties, put together some coalitions with those organizations and try to help them out as well. And all we need to accomplish this is volunteers and money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, yeah, what we're trying to do right now is we're just trying to get the word out there to everybody that we need to stop the killing of these innocent companion animals. They are not disposable.
That's right.
If there's others out there that are interested in doing what we're doing here, where would they begin to help? If they want to help, where do you begin?
If they want to help, I would go to your local rescue organizations. They're listed in every publication. They're listed in newspapers. There's AJC Pets has a Sunday edition, which lists quite a few of them. Just do your research of the one that's local to you, because if they're close by, you're going to be more apt to get more involved with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to get involved with the Humane Society of Forsyth County, then you can obviously get in touch with us at ForsythPets.com, or you can give us a call at 770-887-6480. You can also get a hold of us by going to one of our orientation sessions, which last Saturday every month we have an orientation session at the shelter.
Okay. Actually, we want to get that next. We're coming up for a little break here. We're going to get all the websites and phone numbers and addresses out there for the Humane Society of Forsyth County here shortly, but we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas. Atlanta Dog Trainer services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
A busy dog is a happy dog, and we love happy dogs at Bow Wow Bungalow. Drop your best pal off to play with his doggy friends while you're at work or running errands. You won't feel guilty about leaving him behind, and he won't eat your sofa out of loneliness and frustration. At Bow Wow Bungalow, we provide your dog with companionship, fun, and full-time monitoring in our gorgeous fenced location full of toys. Bow Wow Bungalow is open in Crabapple Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 7. Visit our website at AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs at AM 1620 and on the web at www.radiosandysprings.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Animal Hour. My name is Jeff. I'm your host of the show today. And we are here with Tim Link. He is the president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County. And right before break, we were just getting ready to tell you about all the addresses and phone numbers and contact information. This would be the stuff you need to write down, folks, for if you're interested in adopting an animal or just going down there to help out. So there you go, Tim.
Okay. So to find out more about what we do and to take a look at some of the animals we have at the shelter, you can visit us at our address is 4440 Keith Bridge Road. That's in Cumming, Georgia. That's off of Exit 17, off of Georgia 400. We have adoption hours and facility hours open Monday through Sunday, weekdays 2 to 5, Saturdays 12 to 3, and Sundays from 12 to 3. We also do on-site adoptions at the Cumming Petco and PetSmart stores. And these are both for dogs and cats. We're doing every Saturday now at Petco's, and we're doing Sunday dog adoptions at PetSmart. So you can see some wonderful animals there. You can also visit our website at ForsythePets.com to learn more about us and to also view some of the animals, or you can visit us at PetFinder.com. And PetFinder.com, you type in Forsyth County, Humane Society of Forsyth County, and you can see all the animals we have both at the shelter and our foster homes.
Okay, great. Well, there's the information for all the adopting and helping out. You are doing a lot of efforts here to help the animals and all the innocent companion animals that are being euthanized, unfortunately. Where do you see your efforts going in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years? Where are you trying to go with this?
Well, I think for our organization, we are trying to control the overpopulation of pets and animals and find the ones that we do have coming to our facility perfect forever homes. So, you know, we adopt out between 500 and 600 animals every year. We know those numbers are not going to decrease because we see more and more animals coming into our facility and we see more people coming into our county. So what we want to do is have a group of fantastic volunteers that can help us get the word out and can help us with the adoptions and find these animals perfect homes, increase those numbers of animals that we adopt out into the right perfect forever homes, do our feral cat program so we can control the population, overpopulation of the cats in the area. So, you know, our ultimate goal is to expand what we're doing, find the right animals, the right and perfect homes, but trying to control the population at the same time. And as I said, all we need are wonderful volunteers to help us out and get the word out there and give us their support, and then we'll go out and collect the money we need to be able to do this.
All right, exactly. And for those of you that are looking at adopting animals and things, give them a chance too, because a lot of these animals, they you know, they go through a stressful time. You know, they may go through the shelter system, or they have been loose or out on the streets. They lost their home. They don't understand what's going on, and then they get into a new environment, and sometimes behaviors start to strange behaviors, bad and good.
Right.
They all start to come out, and people give up too soon. And they have to realize that you have to give them a chance, get them into a training program, get them socialized, and you'll find that a lot of them will come around real soon.
Definitely so, and you'll have a wonderful part of your a new part of your family for many, many years. And just give it time, do all the things, just like you said, do the things that you need to do, realize it is a commitment, and you're going to definitely get some pleasure, big pleasure out of it.
Yep. There's there's a lot of people that kind of go, you know, as I talk to clients and whatnot, they go back and forth. They're like, oh, should I get from a breeder? Should I, you know, go through adoption and get a foster animal or something like that? We always recommend to go into foster because there's so many that are out there that need homes. And that's kind of leading into my next question here is, obviously this is a problem. It's a growing problem. We're trying to do everything that we can to alleviate this problem and make it go away. Are there things that the general public can do to help? What do we do to encourage change in laws? Where do we start? I mean, you know, do we go after breeders that are just, you know, puppy mills and breeding too many animals just to make a dollar? Do we talk to Congress? Do we talk to our local mayor? What do we do?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. That's the key thing behind it.
Yeah.
You can start at a grassroots level. You can start at your local county officials and get some county ordinances in place. Have them help you out with programs like a feral cat program, anti-tethering laws where animals aren't left tethered out, you know, chained outside for long periods of time. Start at your grassroots levels first, your city, local governments, your county governments. Then expand it out to your state levels. There's a lot of organizations that team together, partner together to go to their local congressmen, local senators, state level, and promote what you're wanting to see, the changes you're wanting to see. This is exactly what happened with the situation with the dogfighting laws that were just recently passed. Yeah, obviously, we had the big issue with the Michael Vick trials and the animals that were involved that he had that were involved in the dogfighting that finally woke a lot of people up. Everybody got together, said this is not right. We need to make changes in our state, changes that other states have already implemented. And through individuals' efforts, organizations' efforts, getting involved with the state and local governments and the governor's office, we now have anti-dogfighting laws in place, mm-hmm. and pretty very stringent ones. So that's how you get involved. You can start at a small scale and work your way up. You can get involved in national organizations like the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA, and they'll guide you to what the issues are out there and how you can help as an individual or as an organization.
Okay. Well, that's great. What we are going to do now is we're going to shift gears, and we're going to start talking about wagon tails, because I am very curious about this, very interested. I know I have three rescue dogs myself that I would love to have Tim come down and talk to find out what was going on with them. But why don't you just start out by telling us what is wagon tail? What is wagon tails?
Sure. So wagon tails is an organization that I started, or my business that I started this past year. And what it is basically is I'm an animal communicator, so I can telepathically connect with your animals to get an understanding of what's going on with them, whether we're talking behavior, emotional, whether we're talking just needs that they have, whatever it may be that you're experiencing, the things that you would like to know from your animal. I can help you communicate, through me, communicate with them to get a better understanding and a better appreciation of how you guys can work together and have a better life together.
Okay.
And so this is sort of a gift. It's a gift that, I was presented about going on 5 years ago, and it has continued to develop and blossom the more I worked with it, with my own animals, animals of friends, rescue organizations. And then it got to be the point where it was I was getting so many requests and the gift was getting so strong, I decided that, this is my mission. This is my calling. Working with animals is definitely my calling. Mm-hmm. And so I need to do everything I can to be able to help them and their human companions out, their owners out. And so I left corporate America, left my big six-figure incomes, and switched gears and said, I'm going to devote my life to the animals. And that's what we're doing at Wagging Tails, helping you bridge the communication gap, as I say, between you and your animals.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. I want to find out more about that. We are going to take a break, and you are listening to The Animal Hour, and it's on every Tuesday from 2 to 3 p.m., and we are here with Tim Link, owner of Wagon Tails, and we will be right back.
A busy dog is a happy dog, and we love happy dogs at Bow Wow Bungalow. Drop your best pal off to play with his doggy friends while you're at work or running errands. You won't feel guilty about leaving him behind, and he won't eat your sofa out of loneliness and frustration. At Bow Wow Bungalow, we provide your dog with companionship, fun, and full-time monitoring in our gorgeous fenced location full of toys. Bow Wow Bungalow is open in Crabapple Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 7. Visit our website at AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
If you've written a book and want to record it, or have need for an audio studio for any other reason, contact us, Radio Sandy Springs. We now have two production studios available for you at your convenience at very affordable prices. For more information, call 404-943-1620.
For over 20 years, Joe Cochran, owner of Metro Carpet Steam, has provided high-quality, affordable carpet cleaning services to Sandy Springs and the surrounding areas. Joe is the only carpet service I trust to clean my carpet and should be your choice, too. With hundreds of references, Joe does the most thorough cleaning available. A proud participant of the shopping spree, call Metro Carpet Steam owner Joe Cochran for an estimate today. 404-843-3827. Again, 404-843-3827.
Growing daily, this is the voice of your city, Radio Sandy Springs, 1620 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff, and you're listening to The Animal Hour. We are here with Tim Link, and he is the president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County, and he is a very multi-talented individual we have here today. He's also the owner of Wagon Tails, which is business that is dedicated to interspecies communication. And just as you were just talking right before break, a movie was popping into my head, and it was Dr. Doolittle.
Right.
And you were telling me that you had a little bit of an experience similar to Dr. Doolittle. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, definitely. I had when I first uncovered this gift, you know, I'd went to a workshop to find out more about animal communication just as a curiosity because I work with animals. And I had really no idea that this gift would present itself, that I'd actually be able to communicate with animals. And this is using pictures or live animals, you know, animals in the same room as I am, that I'm in. That night, I was bombarded with animals. Not only my animals, but just I had no idea where these animals were coming from, but I could hear what they were saying. They were giving me pictures. They were giving me feelings, the whole gamut. It was a true Dr. Doolittle type of experience.
Right.
And I actually, at that point, said, you know, this gift is pretty amazing, but if it's going to be like this all the time, perhaps I don't want this gift.
Right. Turn it off.
And how do I turn it off? Exactly. And so what I did through just working with it and practicing with it and getting a little bit of guidance, I now can control it. You know, I can turn it on and turn it off, which is good. And this allows me the opportunity to focus on individual animals and individual situations to make sure I'm solving those issues and helping those animals out and their human companions.
Right. Now, okay, now I'm just curious. Do they have... You know, like we all have different voice tones. Mm-hmm. Do the animals come to you with different voice tones too?
Yeah, they definitely have different voice tones. They have different personalities. And how they communicate with me is different. Some of them will choose words. They'll give me words, whether it's usually not eloquent sentences, but it's usually one or two words that they'll give me, and we have to decipher exactly what they're trying to tell us.
Uh-huh.
Other times it's pictures, it's colors. It's feelings. So if they have an injured area in their body, they'll actually show me and give me the feeling of what they're feeling. So it's all the senses coming through, and each animal will determine how they can best communicate with me. And it can be a series of all of those that I mentioned, or it can be one specific way that they like to communicate.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, because whenever, you know, my wife and I are kind of silly, but we talk in our dogs' voices, you know, and I swear they all have their different personalities. We kind of get an idea of what they would sound like.
Well, that's it. They are individual personalities. You know, you'll have, you know, as a trainer, I'm sure you can appreciate this, there's certain breeds that have certain characteristics, but they're all individuals. So just because you have two boxers and they may have certain characteristics, they still have their own personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be the same thing with the information they're feeding back to me, as well as the voices. What I'm hearing back or seeing back is totally different based on that particular animal.
Yep. I think if you were to meet Little Ann, all you'd hear is, let's play.
That sounds good. And some of them, that's all they have to say. They just want to let you know they want more playtime and give me more of those treats.
Yeah.
And other ones have some serious problems. And, if there's behavioral problems, if they've had a change in behavior and you want to know why, we can find that out. If they have emotional problems, maybe they're not getting along with other family members or other pets in the household, we can find out why. So there's the whole gambit. Some of them are very serious health-related issues, and others are just fun, quirky things that they just want to say to us.
Uh-huh.
And so we get the gambit just based on whatever the animal's trying to tell us.
Okay. Well, that's some of the fun stuff, but let me get down to some questions here.
Sure.
Explain what is interspecies communication?
Well, interspecies communication, you can call it animal communication, you can call it animal whisperer, I've been called that, dog whisperer, horse whisperer, whatever it may be. It's any animal. And what we're doing is forming a telepathic communication, a telepathic connection, a nonverbal connection between myself and the animal. So, way to look at that, this is that we're all energy. Every living thing is energy, whether it is a human or whether it's an animal or plant, whatever it may be, it's all made up of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And animals in their environment, they speak telepathically. They don't use spoken words like we do. They'll use their barks and their tones and their meows, those type of things. But when they are communicating with each other, they do it telepathically. It's by sending out an image, sending out a word, sending out a picture to the other animal, and that animal responds. So it's a lot like when you see a flock of geese flying, and they decide to turn it into a different direction, or they switch the pattern or switch where they're flying. The one from the front goes back to the back. They're talking telepathically. They're telling each other, hey, we need to adjust our movement. We need to make a change. And so we're all born with this capability. We're all born with this gift. The challenge with us humans is that by the time we're about 5-6 years old and we start to develop our verbal skills and our verbal words, mm-hmm. all this gets taught out of us. And we get used to speaking just like you and I are today.
Uh-huh.
And we forget all about this telepathic ability that we have. There are certain cultures out there, the Aborigines, the Native Americans, who have practiced this for many, many years, and they'll speak telepathically to each other without the verbal words.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon when you think back to the Native Americans out there. In the early days, they would send out a scout to find where the fertile grounds were, where the hunting grounds were, where the buffaloes were.
Uh-huh.
That scout, that member of that tribe, did not hop back on their horse, come back to camp, tell them where the buffalo were, and then go back out again.
Uh-huh.
He made a telepathic communication back to his tribe to let them know, come here to where I'm at, because this is where the fertile hunting grounds are.
So in that, he's probably sending out a picture.
He's sending out
and
a picture.
They know the area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about with telepathy. You're sending words, pictures, feelings, colors, emotions, whatever it may be. You're sending that out there, and you're connecting with the other energy. In this case, it's me connecting with the animals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's and there's another part to it, energy healing, yes?
Yeah, so another thing I did, I'm a Reiki master, and Reiki is a form of energy healing. It's been around for thousands of years. It's a hand-off modality where you provide, you're scanning individuals' bodies to see where there's some inconsistency in the energy within their body, and you're helping to clear that out. So, a lot of times I'm not a medical doctor, but when I'm doing a Reiki session, an energy session, I'll be feeling your energy, and there's certain areas where it feels stagnant. So your body may feel very cool to me up till the point where I find that energy block. And that particular area could be an area where I'm feeling a great deal of warmth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's something going on in that area. And so if I'm scanning your body, and let's just say it's the lower part of the back, and I feel some heat emanating from there compared to your normal cool energy, then I can ask you what is going on in that area. And it very well could mean that you don't know. Maybe something is developing within your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could mean that there is actually, you've got a lower back problem and you know it.
Right.
So with animals, we're doing that as well. We're scanning them. We're connecting with them from an energy standpoint. We're trying to feel where there's some inconsistencies in their body, mm-hmm. so we can make the human companions, the owners, aware of this. Then they can seek proper medical care. They can take them to their veterinarian and make double check to see if there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had many situations where we have caught early on potential problems and got them. Got him caught quick. Got a great story about a cat that we found out was developing kidney disease without the owners or the veterinarian knowing it early on.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's find out some more about this stuff. We're going to take a short break. And once again, we are speaking with Tim Link with Wagon Tales, and you're listening to the Animal Hour, and we'll be right back.
So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas. Atlanta Dog Trainer services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
Buying a house is probably the single most important investment you make. And when it comes time to sell that property, you want to be sure to secure the most equity in the shortest amount of time. Certified staging professionals are changing the way real estate is being sold. Our three-step staging process is an important marketing tool for property owners and real estate professionals alike. A recent survey found that 63% of buyers would pay more money for a house that was move-in ready. So a qualified, objective opinion from a certified staging professional consultant is more than worth the investment. When you're ready to sell, call 1-888-STAGING or visit on the web at www.findyourstager.com.
You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs at AM 1620 and on the web at www.radiosandysprings.com.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff, and I'm the host of the Animal Hour for the day. And we are here with Tim Link, and he is owner of Wagging Tails. It's a interspecies communications business. And right before the break, we were talking about a situation where you found a kidney problem with a cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I went over and did a communication session in-house, the individual has a dog and four different cats, so we did a lot of communicating, and I did a lot of Reiki energy scanning, energy healing to find out what's going on. And this particular cat had been to the vet a couple of months earlier, had not had any real issues. Blood work was done. Everything seemed to be fine. I had communicated with the cat and did a scan of the body using my Reiki energy and found some stagnations, found something sort of in the back end of the cat, area that, you know, towards the stomach but not quite the stomach. So I felt it had to be some, in my opinion, some sort of maybe a kidney or liver, bladder problem, whatever it may be. So I had asked if the cat had been treated for that or been tested for that, and the owner said no. The cat had not, but if you think there's a potential issue, I'll go get him tested. And I said, well, you know, that has to be your call, you know, what you feel you need to do in this situation, but I don't think it's a bad idea. Took the cat in. They did a little bit of blood work. The veterinarian originally didn't detect anything, but went ahead and did the blood work and checked it out, and come to find out the kidney levels were extremely high. The cat was in early stages of a potential kidney failure if it wasn't treated properly. So now the cat is on specialized diet, is on some supplements to clear out the kidneys, and this has been 2.5 months. I saw it this past weekend, and it's doing great. Kidney levels are down. The kidney's great. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, like I said, I'm not a veterinarian, but if we can catch these things through communicating with the animals, through using some energy healing with the animals, and we can catch them early enough, let your professionals, let your veterinarians take a look at it, then, you know, things are going to be great if you catch it early on.
Right. Well, excellent, excellent. I think my wife would atone to that as well, because her now, let's see, 16-year-old cat is operating on one kidney.
Oh, wow.
It sounds like the same kind of situation.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. What other services do you offer? Can you help find lost pets?
Yeah, there's sort of three prongs of what I do. I work with animals that are live and in body today, whether I'm in person with the animal or whether I'm doing it over the phone, because we can do it over the phone with pictures and setting up a consultation that way. I deal with animals that have transitioned or about to transition, so help people through that process, understanding and communicating with their animals to determine, is it the best time? Are they ready to leave their bodies? And so we can have a communication with your animal there to help you better determine if this is the right time or do you need to continue medicating the animal and helping the animal out. And the third part is lost animals. Animals leave for numerous reasons. Sometimes they get scared. Sometimes they have other missions they need to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they go out exploring. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of reasons that animal will leave. What my goal is to communicate with that animal, determine where they're at, if they're willing to come back and able to come back, and help them come back. And you can take a look at the website. There's a wonderful little story that we got written up on with a lady whose cat had jumped out of a 4-story apartment building in the Bronx, New York.
Oh, man.
Yes. Cat survived.
They always land on their feet,
They
right?
always land on their feet, so they're in good shape. But the cat has always been an indoor cat, no collar, no ID chip, and declawed. And it was out in the wild for the very first time.
Yeah.
And through a series of communications, after about 2.5 weeks, we found out that there is actually a feral male unaltered cat that guards the area and was keeping her cat away from coming back. So we communicated with that particular cat, used our feral cat traps, our humane traps, got that animal trapped and taken away, and got him neutered and got him into a safer environment in a colony that he's safe in, which left the opportunity open for her cat to come back. And so after 2.5 weeks of communicating back and forth with this cat, we got her to come back, and she's happy and wonderful back home again.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is great. That's great. Boy, I tell you what, we only have a few minutes left here, but I would like to have Tim come back on again and tell us some more about these the animal stories. And in the last few minutes here, why don't you just give us some contact information on how somebody would go about getting in touch with you if they would like you to talk to their pets.
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me is take a look at the website, which is wagging-tails.com. So that's wagging-tails.com. And keep in mind that every animal has a tail. So they're more than willing to talk to you guys. You can also reach me at my phone number, which is 404-422-6355, or you can drop me a line at timlink@wagging-tails.com. But take a look at the website. It tells you all about what I do, how it works, how we can set up individual consultations. I do quite a few workshops and seminars, and there's a lot of personal appearances as well. So take a look at that. And also, just real quick, I've got a new, got my first book coming out next month. So keep a look at the website, and the book is full of about 32 tales, actual live stories of consultations between animals and their human companions. So it should be a fun book for everybody.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, I'm just going to do a close here, and I actually grabbed this from Tim's website, but it's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, and I like this one. The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated.
Absolutely.
Let's try to remember that, folks. You've been listening to The Animal Hour, and look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye.